It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And greetings and salutations, folks. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios. It's always a pleasure to join you. You are listening to Sandy Rios in the morning. As many of you know, I'm a relatively regular guest host on AFR Talk. Get the privilege of sitting in with the amazing talent here, and not the least of which is my dear friend, Sandy Rios, who always has wonderful, salient, and highly intelligent things to say. So I've got big shoes to fill today. I am co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Christian Civil Rights Watch is a group of Christian legal watchmen who educate, communicate, and where necessary, we litigate. We proactively fight to restore justice for faithful Bible believers' constitutionally protected civil rights. And our civil rights are under attack here in the United States, particularly for Christians, like at no other time in history. And we often say restoring Christian civil rights is the civil rights struggle of our time. There can be no question. We have the cultural Marxist left and church-state separatists and other so-called progressives who are working overtime to try to undermine our civil rights and to marginalize Christians. We're going to talk some about that today, just through the hate in social media that's been directed against Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, as well as Chick-fil-A. We'll get into some of that. So much in the news to cover today. Going to be talking about that this is so-called LGBT Pride Month, and once again for the second year running, thankfully and appropriately, the Trump administration and President Trump has refused to even recognize this made-up celebration of sin, where in the month of June, again, the cultural Marxist left wants to call evil good and good evil, as the Bible refers to. Of course, the big news today from events of yesterday is the historic summit between President Trump and tyrannical, frankly, leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. We'll kind of unpack how some of that went. And then yesterday, kind of diving right in, the big story is in U.S. as USA Today reports that, or rather the New York Times reports that Republican voters have embraced Trump-style candidates. There was an election in a number of states yesterday in Virginia, in South Carolina, and elsewhere. And Republican voters, according to the New York Times, lashed out against traditional party leaders yesterday, ousting Representative Mark Sanford of South Carolina. They nominated what they call conservative firebrand. That just means, you know, somebody who's a good, solid constitutionalist. Firebrand for Senate in Virginia, the latest illustration that fealty to President Trump and his hardline politics is paramount on the right. Boy, don't you? I mean, how many pejoratives can they throw in there? Firebrand, a hard line, right? And on the right. Sanford, who was a former governor, was seen as a possible candidate for president at one point. He lost to Katie Arrington, there, a state lawmaker, in a closely contested contest. And Arrington had made the incumbents frequent criticisms of President Trump, the centerpiece of her campaign. So she allied herself with President Trump, and the voters rewarded her accordingly. And then in Virginia, a similar thing occurred where Republicans dismissed the concerns of mainstream party leaders to nominate Corey Stewart. And again, here we go. You know, it's Trump supporters, it's conservatives versus both liberal Democrats and the mainstream GOP. The mainstream GOP is reeling perhaps only second to Democrats as President Trump's approval ratings hover around 50%, as reports show that President Trump actually has a higher approval rating at this point in his presidency than did both President Ronald Reagan, if you can believe that, and Barack Obama. So some big wins for Trump supporting conservatives around the country yesterday. President Trump tweeted out congratulations to Corey Stewart for his great victory for senator from Virginia. Now he runs against a total stiff Tim Kaine, who is weak on crime and borders and wants to raise your taxes through the roof. Don't underestimate Corey. A major chance of winning. I happen to agree personally, but we shall see. You know, we have heard talk of this impending blue wave, and I'm not so sure. And I think even a lot of Democrats are starting to question even now as the poll numbers start to even out between the generic Democrat versus Republican candidates. You know, this contrived nationwide hatred of President Trump, and it's not contrived on the left, that's for sure. They are the Trump delusionment syndrome is alive and well. But you know, when the approval ratings, despite 95, 96 something percent or even higher negative reporting in the mainstream media that President Trump would remain with a higher approval rating than both Presidents Reagan and Obama, it's nothing short of a miracle. And it shows that he kind of, as Frank Sinatra said, he's doing it his way. and he is has done much as a defender myself and with Christian civil rights of our enumerated First Amendment guaranteed right to religious liberty. President Trump having stepped in as probably the premier defender in the executive branch in who knows how long of those rights. It is encouraging to me, and it is encouraging to see that despite this soft coup attempt in the deep state and the conspiring with the leftist mainstream media to unseat a duly elected sitting president, that we continue, he continues to move forward and to gain support across the nation. And in many states, again, where Hillary Clinton was expected to win, President Trump won. And I don't think those areas are going to turn blue anytime soon. The other big news, of course, from yesterday, the summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump in Singapore, where the news coming out of there, as USA Today reports, that President Trump has declared the Kim Jong-un summit a success. It certainly, by all accounts, appears that it was. I am cautiously optimistic. President Trump has said that Kim Jong-un and the North Korean government has agreed to an unfettered and unconditional denuclearization of North Korea, and that's with verification. That's with people there from the UN and the US and elsewhere to monitor this denuclearization. And that's what we are told that was agreed to among other things. And it's amazing to me. Now, first of all, I want to be very clear here. We cannot deny the fact that the North Korean government is tyrannical. I mean, they have got death camps, prison camps, where any dissenter is thrown, anybody even remotely viewed as a dissenter. Christians have been persecuted. Reports are that President Trump addressed all of these issues and addressed the human rights violations of the past. And Kim Jong-un, you know, he swears that they're going to turn over a new leaf. Trump's critics, I think some of them rightfully so, point out that, hey, here we have President Trump negotiating with a tyrant, Well, when you have, you know, the world security kind of on the table here, and a potential nuclear war there in the Korean Peninsula and around the world, and the opportunity to defuse that ticking time bomb, you know, sometimes you have to negotiate with government leaders from governments that we don't like. Now, this is not to be confused or conflated with the unilateral Iran deal that so-called that President Obama pushed through, wherein they sent over hundreds of billions of dollars on pallets in the cover of night and the unmarked bills and cash. And in this case, it's all one way, the opposite direction. We have really President Trump, other than offering continued security and perhaps either a slowing down of or complete stop to the war games and that have been occurring in South Korea that North Korea views as provocative and so forth. There were some, you know, anytime you contract with someone else, there's an offer, there's an acceptance. There has to be some kind of collateral or given that it has to be kind of a win-win. Certainly, President Trump has said that this is a win-win. He said today is the beginning of an arduous process. Our eyes are wide open, he said. So, you know, we should not. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon with people saying, you know, hey, you know, Trump, we need to tomorrow. He needs to get the Nobel Peace Prize because he has just returned world peace. And defuse that time bomb in the Korean Peninsula. I think this is very promising. It's definitely historical. The mainstream media nitpicking everything they possibly can. They just cannot bring themselves, neither can Democrats, to get on board with a nation of doing what is in the best interest of the world. And there can be no question that what President Trump has done here is historic. Never been done before. Since the Korean War, and no kind of negotiations like this with the tyrannical state of North Korea. So this, it's a big deal, and it cannot be questioned. This is a huge political victory. Not that I mean that's certainly secondary, but it is a huge political victory, and it begins this process toward, I think, a denuclearized. Well, that's a hard word to spit out. Denuclearized Korean Peninsula. So all of that is good news. It's encouraging news to me. It's discouraging to media. It's discouraging to Democrats. I think it will certainly bolster Trump's approval, along with this just a thriving economy with the, you know, lowest unemployment in decades, lowest unemployment certainly for African Americans and other minorities, Hispanics, and in just, you know, ages here. President Trump, you know, boy, for a so-called white supremacist, he keeps, pardoning and even posthumously, you know, African Americans and others who maybe got a raw deal. So for a white supremacist, this president has done more for the African-American community, certainly, than Barack Obama did. He dug the hole that they were in that President Trump is helping to get them out of. So moving on now, it's, you know, Happy Pride Month, right? We're told that it's LGBT Pride Month. So after the break, I want to kind of unpack that, talk about that a little bit, talk about this, the attacks that Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, has been undergoing on social media and elsewhere, just merely for acknowledging that he ate the delicious chicken sandwiches with a pickle at Chick-fil-A. The hate, the visceral hatred from the left on him, on Chick-fil-A, and on Christians is palpable. It's rising, but they're showing their true colors. I love it. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't go away. We'll pick up right after the break.
He Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit *345. That's *345. *345.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's Song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For he is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Sam Blackledge of McDonough County, Illinois, had worked hard on his valedictory address, but about 10 minutes before graduation, the principal at West Prairie High School told Sam he would not be allowed to deliver that speech. The content was deemed inappropriate. Sam wanted to talk about his relationship with Christ. He wanted to give God the credit for his 4.0 grade point average. The school district said they would only allow Sam to speak if he promised to take Christ out of his speech. Sam was heartbroken, his graduation day ruined. First Liberty Institute, a law firm that handles religious liberty cases, is now representing the 18-year-old. They say it's clear the school district violated Sam's First Amendment rights. I know many of you would like to read Sam's speech, and he was kind enough to provide me with a copy. You can read it for yourself at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Thanks for listening in, folks. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the morning. Talking about it's amazing to me, the self-described proponents and champions of tolerance, of diversity, of inclusivity are at it again, revealing and exposing their own visceral hypocrisy and hatred of both Christians, of our nation's founding principles, and of biblical Christianity and natural man, woman, marriage, and so forth. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, has apologized. Now, he's been cyber-bullied into submission and has apologized for having dinner at Chick-fil-A as a private citizen. He responded to liberal outrage by folding like a cheap lawn chair last Saturday evening. He tweeted a screenshot. He's showing that he had eaten at a Los Angeles Chick-fil-A location, or rather location, and just tweeted, boost Chick-fil-A, and just showed, you know, what kind of his receipt and what he had. And of course, you know the background on Chick-fil-A. It is a Christian-founded organization with an impeccable record of employee treatment. There is not an iota of evidence that they've ever discriminated against any self-described gay employee or applicant for a job. Dan Cathy, a few years back, you'll recall, he just publicly in his own private capacity, very kind of innocuously expressed what probably well over half of Americans believe, the reality that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that that there is something sacred and fundamentally important about the institution of legitimate marriage. Of course, they took that and spun it around. Oh, he's a homophobe. He's a hater. And you'll recall there was a big backlash, a boycott. And then there was Chick-fil-A Day, where they, I think, doubled or tripled their record for daily, you know, lines around the buildings all over the country. I remember the one in Chicago. People are, you know, wrapping around a block to get into a Chick-fil-A. I love it when the left overplays its hand. So when Dorsey tweeted that out, Soledad O'Brien, I think she was formerly with CNN. Now she's a, you know, kind of a big mainstream media wig. She said, "This is an interesting company to boost during Pride Month." Okay, upset that he did that. Guy Adam Goldman, he tweets, "On behalf of the whole LGBT community, Jack, kindly boost your head out of your bleep." Just a bunch of hate chicken. Sarah Burris said, "Hate chicken never tasted so homophobic." And on, the hate and the bullying went. And again, like a cheap lawn chair, Jack Dorsey, he folded. He tweeted, "You're right. Completely forgot about their background." Their background, meaning that they were founded by Christians, that they're a company that has amazing customer service, probably the best fast food. We have Chick-fil-A's all over. My daughters are addicted to it. And of course, you always want a Chick-fil-A on Sunday, right? And then you have that horrifying realization that they're not open and you're going to have to settle for something else. there's a reason Chick-fil-A has two drive-thrus instead of one. The cars are always backed way up, that sometimes the people are out there with their little notepad and taking your order in advance, because they have to accommodate so many customers because of their great customer service. Employees almost universally love working there. I don't care that because of the way they're treated, because biblical principles, which are, they're just laws, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, they're just truths, because they are built on biblical principles and they operate their business on biblical principles. They do well. It can't not work. It's just like the, you know, laws of gravity. When you treat people well and with good customer service, you're going to be successful if you offer, you know, a good product. So you're completely right, he says. Completely forgot about their background. Gentleman Rob Eno, he writes, he does research for a number of, he's a conservative, a GOP lawmaker. He tweeted out, he says, "Whoa, so does this mean the guy that runs this site is advocating boycotting Chick-fil-A now because Soledad O'Brien cyber bullied him?" And then some other people tweeted out, they talked about, you're supporting these Christians during Ramadan, you know. So just the anti-Christian bigotry, the hatred is palpable, and it's all in the context of this being so-called Pride Month, and the left is even more up in arms right now. Newsweek had a big story, you know, Trump again refuses to recognize LGBT Pride Month, so they go on. They're just pointing out that once again, whereas President Obama, he would light the White House up in rainbow colors in celebration of Pride Month. He would send out declarations of Pride Month. Trump actually follows in the footsteps of George W. Bush, who didn't recognize Pride Month either, but both President Obama and Bill Clinton did we shouldn't be surprised that there's sin enablers that we would celebrate Pride. But the Bible said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, Pride Month isn't even a new phenomenon. There was a lot of pride over aberrant homosexual behavior, in back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you think of Jude 1:7. It says, likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities near them, which like them committed sexual sins and pursued homosexual activity, serve as an example of the punishment of eternal fire. I would hope that President Trump would not celebrate this lifestyle, this LGBT lifestyle. And then when you rope in the political LGBT political agenda, as illustrated by what we were just talking about, the attacks on Jack Dorsey on Twitter, why would this president, who has actually helped to ensure through executive order and other actions that Christians are protected in their religious liberties, and that the government, in the name of LGBT pride, cannot bully them into submission like they did Jack Dorsey on social media. President Trump is doing the right thing here. And all of this occurring in the wake of course, the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision came out of the Supreme Court. It cannot be understated what a tremendous victory that decision is. It's a 7-2 decision, which reaffirmed Jack Phillips, the baker in Denver, Colorado, his right to not be forced and bullied by the Civil Rights Commission and maligned for his Christian faith and bullied into using his gifts and his skills and abilities to sponsor, to effectively endorse an event by making a unique piece of art for a same-sex wedding. They said, no, you were right, Colorado Civil Rights Commission. He does not have to do that. He can't be forced to do that. And furthermore, you went way overboard. You attacked him. You maligned him. You violated his First Amendment rights by attacking him for his Christian faith. But this whole notion, so to me, I was just delighted that decision came down during so-called Pride Month. But this whole notion of pride and of taking pride in homosexual sin, I'm reminded of it, you know, in Romans, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. So we're taking pride in our shameful lusts. We expect our president to take pride and to do a pride declaration for shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful, again that word, shameful acts with other men, and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Now, as Christians, of course we love people everyone has different sin temptations, different thorns in their side, as Paul referred to some of his own temptation. Everyone has different ones. This just happens to be one. We don't have adultery Pride Month. You know, we don't have fornication Pride Month. We don't have swingers Pride Month. Why would this particular sin that is called shameful, is called an abomination in Scripture, Why would we take pride in that? Why would our president, and if President Trump did, I think, issue a declaration out of the White House in support of this, there would be a tremendous backlash. He knows that. He knows evangelicals would be upset. Conservatives who support natural marriage would be upset. But, this is Romans 1 stuff we're talking about here. They're taking pride in these various sins, and the Bible talks about that too. I mean, I tweeted out when everyone was talking about Pride Month, you know, Proverbs 16:18, pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. That's one version. You've heard pride cometh before the fall, right? You know, your pride has deceived you, it says in Obadiah. The wicked, it says in Psalm 10:3-4, it says the wicked are proud of their evil desires. I mean, nothing new under the sun. Scripture has been addressing all of this stuff for thousands of years. And the way when people, and I think inherently a lot of people who engage in homosexual behavior, who define their identity based upon these aberrant proclivities and inclinations and behaviors, it's human nature. The heart is deceitful above all things, right? We're told. And so they turn it around and they say, not only am I not going to feel convicted, because they are feeling convicted, many of them, people know in their heart when you are out of line, when you are, opposing the natural law of moral physics, and not to mention natural law of biology, when you are opposing these things, you know in your heart, God has written his laws on the hearts of every man, woman, and child. So, you know, the wicked are proud of their evil desires. That is Pride Month. That is LGBT Pride Month in a nutshell. Psalm 10:3-4 sums it up. The wicked are proud of their evil desires. The greedy curse. They reject the Lord. Pride Month it's not just about pride, taking pride in their evil desires. It is about, on the flip side, rejecting the Lord. The wicked do not care about the Lord. They're rejecting him. They don't care about him. They deny their own conviction in their heart for their sin. They take pride in their evil desires. And then it says at the end, in their pride, they think that God doesn't matter. Well, God does matter. And we all know that. And it's sad for me to witness a nation that has come to the point now where half the nation, or at least a large segment of moral relativists, those who deny that there is such a thing as right and wrong, it's sad to me that we have fallen that far, that we have become that untethered from our Judeo-Christian heritage in this nation. At the time of our founding, certainly in all, I think all 13 colonies, may perhaps one, there were laws on the books about engaging in these behaviors that we take pride in today. They call them a violation of the laws of nature. They called engaging in homosexuality, I can't remember who famously wrote, it's the sin that dare not speak its name. It was considered sin because we were tethered and rooted in our biblical founding. The vast majority of our founders, many of them, were either clergy or deacons. Those who signed the Declaration of Independence that were at the Constitutional Convention. Two of them were not Christians. Thomas Paine was kind of an agnostic, and there were some others. But the Bible, again, it talks about all of this. It says a day is coming when human pride will be ended and human arrogance destroyed. Then the Lord alone will be exalted. That's Isaiah 2:11, and amen to that. And scripture says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. James 4:10. So we have folks lifting themselves up, lifting a lifestyle up, taking pride, which of course, right, is the opposite of humility. Taking pride in their evil ways and expecting that we would have an entire month built around that. Furious that President Trump will not get on board and will not support this notion of Pride Month. So anyway, after the break, I'm going to take some of your calls. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. What do you think about all of this? What about Jack Dorsey and the attacks on him for simply having a delicious chicken dinner at Chick-fil-A? The divisions are becoming more stark. The polarization is becoming more and more clear. And as Christians, we will continue to love those who oppose God and oppose truth, but we will continue to stand firm for truth in love. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. Again, give us a call, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back after the break.
do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. During an interview with NBC's Craig Melvin, former President Bill Clinton became demonstrably flustered when asked to address his extramarital relationship with Monica Lewinsky under the lens of the Me Too movement. When asked whether he owed Lewinsky a personal apology, Clinton responded by saying he left the White House in debt. That was an amazing moment. When questioned about moral responsibility, Bill Clinton chose to talk about money. I guess it really is all about the money after all, for the Clintons.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In a democratic republic such as America, the hard work of democracy is done by the people. At the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., September 21st through the 23rd, you'll be equipped to take up the battle for human life, strong religious liberty, and thriving families by strong conservative leaders. The Values Voter Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. Visit valuesvotersummit.org to register and obtain more information about the summit. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Why does AFA keep harping on the dangers of the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why? It's because we've looked into the eyes of the mother of a teen suicide victim. Patrice Bright was mom to a normal, happy 14-year-old cheerleader dealing with the challenges any teenager faces. But her outlook on life was apparently darkened after she binge-watched season 1 of 13 Reasons Why. Anna Bright chose to deal with her temporary teen problems with the permanent act of suicide. Several other teens and young adults have made the same choice after watching this show, which glorifies suicide. The American Family Association and others have pointed out the dangers of the program to Netflix. But, apparently motivated by money, Netflix has just released season 2. Our hope is to save teen lives by getting Netflix to pull the series before another tragedy occurs. You can learn more and sign the 13 Reasons Why petition at AFA.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. NBC News and its even more leftist cable outlet MSNBC have hired Ben Rhodes, a man who, while a senior Obama administration official, specialized in manipulating them and others in what he derided as the media echo chamber. After Donald Trump drove his team from office, Rhodes decided to launch National Security Action. This so-called NSA is reportedly designed to keep the Obama band together, presumably the better to spin their friends in the press and promote the anti-Trump resistance. It's been a bit much, however, to see a man who has admitted to lying about the Iran deal, suggesting that President Trump won't tell the truth about his private conversation with North Korean despot Kim Jong-un. And it is pathetic, if revealing, that one of the major U.S. networks would actually pay him to continue his deceptions on camera. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios, co-founder, general counsel with Christian Civil Rights Watch. Encourage you to check out our website, truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. We are going on the offense. We are taking a stand in defense of Christian civil rights, talking about that it is so-called LGBT Pride Month, right? And while I don't recognize Pride Month, because I don't celebrate sin, I don't recommend you do either. I will say, in recognition of the left's recognition of Pride Month, that I want to kind of send a special shout out there to to young self-identified LGBT people. I want to let you know, folks, to self-identified gay and lesbian and transgender teens, if you happen to be listening in, I want you to know that that you're going to hear truth here, and that it's probably going to make you uncomfortable. You will hear truth, not because I say it's true. I'm a nobody, but it's truth because the creator of the universe, the very God who wove you together in your mother's womb, he made it true. And his truths never, ever change. And, you know, I have three children. I have a boy. I have two girls. My middle child, my daughter, she's going into high school. My son is going to be a junior in high school. And I've had many people ask me what I'd say to my children if one of them ended up declaring, you know, quote, "Dad, I'm gay." And I receive hate mail. What if one of your children were gay? You would kick them out of the house. You would hate them. You would, no. So LGBT teens, if you're listening, young people, adults, all, you know, here's what I'd say to them. I'd tell them exactly what I'm going to tell you, right? I love you. I love you. I'm a Christian. I love you. I can't judge you. I'm a sinner. I'm fallen. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. I accept you. I would die for you. That's what Christians are called to do. I would die for you. But listen carefully here. You're not, quote, gay. Okay? You may be physically attracted to people of the same sex, but how you act on those attractions, it's entirely your choice. Who you are, your identity, it's not defined by your sexual feelings, your temptations, your behaviors, and the difference between who you are and what you feel or do, it's the difference between night and day. And self-identified gay teens that are listening right now, here is who you are. You are a wonderful, beautiful, precious human being created in the image and in the likeness of the one righteous and holy God of the universe. You're priceless, but you're flawed. You're a sinner. I'm flawed. I'm a sinner, right? We're all flawed sinners. We're corrupted beings in a corrupted world, and we're all tempted by sin. And as I mentioned, those sins they manifest themselves in different ways for each of us. But we're all on equal footing as to how we react to those temptations. And here is the bottom line. Here is my message for everyone celebrating Pride Month right now. Homosexual behavior, transgender behavior is always wrong. Demonstrably and absolutely wrong. Period. Full stop. Okay. That is an objective reality. That is a truth. And there is freedom from those sin temptations. There is freedom from engaging those wrong behaviors and the being given over to a reprobate mind, as the scriptures talk about homosexual behavior. There's freedom from that in and through the person of Christ Jesus. And that is the only way to freedom. His righteousness, when you accept him, when you believe upon him, is imputed to you. And then, as he told the woman who was about to be stoned, engaging in her sin, you know, they love to say, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, Christ got them to, they all dropped their stones. They walked off because they recognized their own sin. But then he said, well, hey, where'd they go? You know, neither do I condemn you, he said. But then here's what everyone forgets. Now go and sin no more. Right now, go and sin no more. Going to the phone lines, I want to take Pete in South Carolina. Pete, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking the call. And just great job filling in for Sandy, which is not easy. She is just a treasure, as she would say of others.
Amen.
And filling in for her cannot be easy, but you do a great job. And basically my comment is, I just want to, focus on the quote-unquote school system, which is an indoctrination camp system, and what
no
listeners
question.
Can do. No question, right? And I've identified three places where the Christian story has been obliterated by the government. One is the total removal of the Christian story from our history. The second is the introduction of humanism, which displaces Christianity in the Supreme Court, so that humanism is religion. And the third is how this the school system, quote unquote school system, teaches homosexuality and transgenderism. And it's I'm focusing my work on South Carolina at the moment, and I started an organization to do that. Awesome. So I'm not going to say the name right now because I don't have permission to do that. But look, you know what we can do. Everybody, we need to do our part. The listeners, I mean, we look to you, AFR. We love you, but we all need to do our part too. We can't just listen to the radio and do nothing. We have to do our part, and that is go to your local school boards. Ask them, what are you teaching our kids?
Yeah,
what's
absolutely.
The earliest grade? And ask for the material. What's the books, the sex education books, and the history books? And
hey,
I
just want to add to that before I lose the thought here, that there is strength in numbers, and I agree 100%. I encourage people to go in and do that in their school boards, and you're right. Our public schools, our government schools have become anti-Christian, pro-LGBT, pro-humanism indoctrination centers. They're trying to whitewash and reinvent an America in their own self-image. But there's strength in numbers. I encourage people to get with other like-minded parents and go in together, because sometimes they'll just dismiss, you know, a mom and a dad or one parent. But anyway, go ahead. What's your closing quote?
Yeah, you know, to your point, they ridicule you. You go by yourself, they ridicule you. So, yeah, talk to your friends. Get advanced, go as a group. You know, the power of the individual has been ignored these days. If you're just a person, you're ignored. But the quote is from George Washington. In 1779, he spoke to the Delaware Indian chiefs. And when we were vying for the loyalty of the Indians, the British were too, but we were, Washington said, what students would learn in American schools, above all, is the religion of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That should be written. Amen. That should be written on the school walls. They
yes.
said in big letters, that should be a quote in the schools. Every school should have that quote.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, absolutely right. Great points, and thanks for the call. I'm going to move on now to Marty in Iowa. Marty, how you doing today?
Real good, Matt, and I just love everything you guys are talking about, and I just your last caller also stole the thunder is Matthew 19, and it's Jesus talking.
Right.
And he is so gloriously wonderful when he says that, haven't you read that in the beginning, the Creator, which happens to be Jesus,
yes.
he made them male and female, and Jesus loves the homosexual, and he wants a relationship with them. And
Amen.
And he also goes on to say, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. Well,
that's right.
There's a lot of people with hard hearts who do not know the relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a disciple, you, Matt, and myself, we are to boast on Jesus Christ and to try to strengthen the relationship with these that are confused. And I'm confused in aspects of my life, but I have an advocate named Jesus, and I have an advocate, which is my body of believers in the church, that help me in confusion, that can help me to walk the way Jesus Christ wants me to walk while I'm on
Amen.
This
Amen. Amen, Marty. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant points. Truth in love, and as I often say, truth is hate to those who hate truth. We don't hate you, but we are going to tell you the truth. And love, if someone is careening toward cliff's edge, you don't say, hey, keep on going, you're doing great, you're fine, keep on running, and as they plummet to their death. And that's what we're talking about here. The wages of sin is death. When you don't have that relationship with Christ Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. He is the narrow gate. He is the only path to God. And again, in recognition of those who are recognizing so-called LGBT Pride Month, I just want to say once again, I don't say this in hate, but this is truth in love. Homosexual behavior is always wrong. It is always absolutely and demonstrably wrong, and that's period. That's not me saying that. It's not me judging. The judgment has already, God has already made the cast the judgment. He has told us and commanded us As Marty pointed out, God defines in Matthew 19, Christ defined, in the beginning God made them male and female. See transgenderism, something that doesn't exist, a fiction, a made up human social construction. Yes, there are people who struggle with sexual confusion and gender confusion and so forth. But every major world religion, okay, thousands of years of history and uncompromising human biology, they declare the objective reality from the rooftops about that all of the aspects that the LGBT left and the humanist left celebrates during so-called Pride Month, that these are aspects of sin. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And Jeremiah 17:19 says that though your heart may deceive you, something deep within you knows this to be true. Okay, here's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. And again, your heart deceives you, as Scripture says, but something deep within you, I'm talking to LGB teens, I'm talking to adults who are listening in right now, something deep in your heart knows this to be true. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Without Scripture, it's beyond cure. The great deceiver, Satan, prowls like a lion seeking to destroy you. You are laboring under deception if you are celebrating so-called Pride Month. And you hear it said all the time, but Jesus never mentioned homosexuality. Well, he didn't mention bestiality. He didn't mention don't trip an old lady with a walker as she's crossing the street. Does that mean it's okay to trip an old lady with a walker as she's crossing the street? Furthermore, we don't know if Jesus ever mentioned the particular sin of homosexual. We have no record in Scripture of him specifically addressing it, but neither, again, do we have him addressing many other sins. He addresses certainly adultery, but he does broadly address, he was clear, he condemned all sexual immorality as detailed within the moral law, the Jewish moral code. He was clear that any sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage between husband and wife, that it is sexual immorality. It's sin, period. Yeah, and if homosexual sin is expressly identified, folks, in both the Old and New Testaments as being among the list of sins that if committed without repentance, that this will prevent you, quote, from inheriting the kingdom of God. This isn't stuff to take lightly. This isn't intolerance on my part. We care about you. The Christian cares about you. The Christian cares about, as Christ says, he doesn't want anyone to perish. Not one. We don't want anyone to perish. And so, yes, unrepentant homosexual behavior, folks, as you think about this in the context of Pride Month, it's disobedience to God. You're celebrating disobedience to God. And if we rebel against God, if we refuse to repent and ask his forgiveness, then we have chosen our own fate. We have chosen to disqualify ourselves from heaven. We have chosen hell. And LGBT Pride Month is celebration of hell, okay? I know it's not easy. Temptation isn't easy. Sinning is easy, right? I mean, we could all do that. But don't forget, the wages of sin is death. And so, folks, but there is life. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He said that in Matthew 11:28. So kids, LGBT-identified kids, as you're celebrating so-called Pride Month, think about it for a second. Take your sexual confusion, your struggle with sin, take it to Christ. No one else can give you rest. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. It has been a pleasure. Sandy will be back tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.